We have three Premier League matches on Sportsnet this weekend. Manchester City and Crystal Palace, Everton and Bournemouth, and Leicester City versus Liverpool. Peter Drury is one of our Premier League play-by-play voices on Sportsnet. He'll have the call of the London Derby, West Ham and Tottenham, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Peter, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. Before I talk about the Derby, I wanted to talk a little bit about Leicester City and Liverpool. And is it possible that Liverpool could go through this month without winning a match? I find that shocking, and that could happen to Leicester City.
It's a really interesting dynamic, the Liverpool dynamic at the moment, Jeff. They are such an entertaining watch. They've got an array of really thrilling players. They've got, of course, Coutinho very much back in their family now, which is great for all Liverpool fans everywhere. But there's this ongoing debate about their very fragile defence, which is costing them goals and points all over the place. As it happens, funnily enough, as you and many of your listeners will be aware, they played Leicester in a League Cup tie this week, and they lost it. Funnily enough, I sense that these cup ties, especially in the early rounds, very much tend to be shadow boxing. Mm-hmm. And I've got a feeling that Liverpool may have kind of learned a few lessons from that. They know they're under considerable pressure at the moment. And I quite fancy Liverpool to go to Leicester and win properly in the Premier League.
You know, you mentioned the way they play. And when you watch Liverpool sort of in full flight, they really are, they are incredibly pleasing on the eye. I mean, I think I would argue that other than maybe Man City, who I love watching play, even though I'm a Man U fan, I love watching Man City play. Liverpool in full flight is probably right now the best show in the Premiership. And I guess, you know, my question is this. Do you think that maybe Jurgen Klopp, kind of the high intensity that he demands from his players, do you think that maybe we see the flip side of that every now and then, Peter, and that it's awfully hard to go 150 miles an hour all the time, or 150 kilometers an hour in this case all the time, without just kind of, you know, being physically spent and emotionally spent, and that can lead to breakdowns?
Well, it is the mentally or emotionally, as you put it, spent issue, which I think is the key one, because as anybody who's played sport at any level knows, Jeff, the expenditure of physical energy leads ultimately to an empty tank mentally, and there are moments of lapsed concentration for Liverpool, which have cost them so very dear already this season, and indeed in the recent past in previous seasons. And you may very well have a point. He asks so much of his players, and perhaps particularly amongst the defensive ranks, there are one or two who concentrationally, if such a word exists, have been found wanting. I think if there's one game that sums up Liverpool to this point this season, it's the first game they played when they drew 3-3 at Watford. Now, Watford is a team Liverpool should be beating, and Liverpool were beating and were playing some wonderful football against, but they found a way to lapse in the last couple of minutes, which cost them points. And in a way, that has set a bit of a tone. Once or twice, you might say they've been unlucky. They failed to beat Burnley at home when, truth be told, they utterly outplayed Burnley. And just didn't find a way to score. In the Champions League, they had a 2-2 draw against Seville. Another game they really ought to have won based on the thrilling, sometimes irresistible attacking football they were playing. But they are finding ways, and it must be to do with mental switching off, not to achieve the result that much of what they do, they really earn.
What role do you foresee Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain playing in the Liverpool scheme of things? Once he's established, once he's bedded in, how do you see him being used? Because I found that to be kind of an interesting transfer.
It's a really interesting transfer, and I don't have the answer to your question, Jeff, because as you're well aware, as an Arsenal player, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain was a topic for weekly debate based on his position or what folk believed to be his best position. From time to time, he played as a holding midfielder for Arsenal from relatively deep and played the role beautifully. Arsene Wenger, and he wasn't alone in believing that this was his best position, often deployed him wide of a striker as a winger who could fly past a fullback and deliver a cross. And that seems to me not a bad position for him either. Now, of course, Liverpool have Coutinho. Liverpool have Salah, who's been an instant hit and is a flying winger, if you like, who flies past the fullback. And I wonder whether Liverpool's first 11 leaves room for Oxlade-Chamberlain in that position. I personally could see him playing sort of alongside or in partnership with Jordan Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
And playing, if you like to use American football terminology, as a sort of quarterback, a winner of the ball and a distributor of the ball, because he's very, very effective there. But I wouldn't presume to know quite what Jurgen Klopp believes.
Right. Crystal Palace and Man City is another match that we have. Now, Crystal Palace won in the League Cup 1-0 over Huddersfield this week. Roy Hodgson now firmly in charge of Crystal Palace. Look, they haven't won in five matches. They're going to be up against it at Man City. Is there any way you see Crystal Palace with this slow start avoiding the drop this season, even though we're only at the end of September? It looks as if it's going to be a big mountain to climb for them.
Well, it does. I mean, the truth of the matter is you have 38 games probably to get 38 points to stay up. You know, if you follow a smallish team in the Premier League, essentially you, week on week, need to be able to look at that league table in the newspaper online and see that you've got at least as many points as games played. And then you think, well, we've got a chance. We'll stay alive. Now, as it happens, Crystal Palace have no points from five games. They play Manchester City next. Then they play Manchester United. Then they play Chelsea. So it's not impossible. Indeed, some might say it's probable that they will still have no points after eight games. And that means that they have only 30 games in which to get 38, 39, 40 points. And it doesn't take Einstein to work out that that is a much tougher equation. From a purely emotional human point of view, there's a lot of me that would love to see Crystal Palace achieve it. For the sake, really, of Roy Hodgson, who until last week, you know, his last football match in charge of a senior football team was, God bless him, England losing to Iceland in the European Championships.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a hideous way for a very distinguished career to end. And he is a very, very pleasant man. He is a gentleman of sport, Roy Hodgson. From a human perspective, whatever you think about his capabilities as a coach, if you meet him, as I've been fortunate enough to do several times, you can't help but like him. And I think that from a personal perspective, he deserves that the redemption that would come with the success story of a Crystal Palace escape. But I think there's a very high likelihood that he's going to have 30 games to achieve it. I have a horrible feeling that, just like his predecessor, he personally is going to be played for, lost for, and starting from there. So, listen, that is no sort of base on which to build, and he is going to have to be inspired to pull it off. And Manchester City, by the way, you don't need me to tell you, Manchester City are awesome at the moment. Absolutely awesome.
Do you think that they're a level above Man U right now, if you had to pick?
Jeff, I liked your introduction. I liked your introduction when you were talking about Liverpool. I think you were spot on. They are just a compelling watch. That's what they are, just as Liverpool at their best are. I went over to Rotterdam in the Netherlands and saw their Champions League game against Feyenoord the other week. Absolutely brilliant. Now, they scored their five against Liverpool's 10 men. Absolutely brilliant. My local team, where my family have tickets, is Watford. And so they sat whilst I was working elsewhere, and my family sat and watched them score six against Watford last week. Absolutely. And they came away, by the way, as Watford sympathisers, saying that the Watford supporters clapped off City. You know, there was no point being miserable. You just had to accept that they were torn up by a brilliant, brilliant football team. All I would say about City is that they started last season like this, and it fell away. So what they have to do this time is maintain it. But at the moment, it's hard to see how they won't. And if they didn't beat Crystal Palace tomorrow, well, that would be one of the most surprising Premier League outcomes of recent times.
Now, you will have the call. I believe it's West Ham and Tottenham.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we know that Tottenham's head coach, Maurizio Pochettino, took the boys out to Beast, which I understand is a fairly substantial restaurant in London. Took them out for a meal on Wednesday. He's trying. He is big. We know he's big in building positive energy and kind of creating that real sense of collective self. Does Tottenham have that this year? Do you think that might be the thing that might separate them from previous Tottenham teams?
Well, good question. I mean, the same sort of question was asked this time last year when, as you'll recall, they came off the back of having been the closest to chasing down the Leicester fairy tale. And if you remember the season before last, they really blew up at the end. And people said, well, that's what's missing from Tottenham. When it got really tough and they had to win week in, week out, whilst Leicester were having fun and doing it, Tottenham fell apart. And last season, to their great credit, actually, Tottenham got closer to the champions Chelsea than they had got to the champions Leicester, and they didn't fall apart. And actually, they finished the season very, very strongly. And so people are looking for them to kick on again. And this year, of course, they have the added complication of playing at Wembley, which hasn't done them any favours yet. They haven't felt at home yet. Indeed, they haven't won there yet. And, of course, tomorrow's fixture is interesting because they visit West Ham, who, in moving into the old Olympic Stadium last year, had the self-same problems. It took them a long, long time to feel at home. And really, it meant that they spent a year treading water, going nowhere, West Ham. And so we have tomorrow these two famous London clubs, both of whom still feel slightly displaced. And wondering what it's all about, as if they have just moved into a new house and they don't know the neighbours yet and don't quite understand it. But, of course, the pressure is greater on Tottenham because Tottenham are a bigger club and there are great expectations. Listen, they've got a fabulous team. There's not a match on the fixture list that you look at and think Tottenham can't win that. And you would make them favourites to beat West Ham tomorrow. And if they do, they could be off and running, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they lost to Chelsea, but They'll be in the mix. They'll definitely be in the mix. Just one final thing on that game, which I know is not one that you're concentrated on particularly, but it is interesting because you might recall at the back end of last season, West Ham beat Tottenham.
Right.
And that was the game that ended it for Tottenham. A week later, Chelsea were champions, and the Tottenham chase really ended at West Ham end of April, beginning of May, at the end of last season. So there's a little bit of revenge needed there. And there are two clubs whose supporters don't like each other very much, so it'll be spicy.